Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
There was a lot of effort going out and there was very little profitable returns from it. And I wanted to flip that paradigm.
Today on episode 470 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with profit amplifier Melanie Benson. I'm going to ask Melanie how to get cash into your business consistently and profitably every single month, and much more. Find out more about Melanie along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now, before we jump into this incredibly important topic with Melanie, I want to tell you a little bit about how you can stand out from your competition. It's a noisy world out there. Your business is unique, and you want someone on your team who can really help you smash through the digital chaos and get noticed by your ideal customers. With the capabilities to meet all of your marketing needs, SiteHub can make your unique vision come to life. At the end of this episode, you will have an opportunity to listen to SiteHub's CEO, Sean McKay, offer you tips to help you get noticed by your ideal customers. So make sure you listen all the way to the end to get Sean's marketing tip. And for my listeners, SiteHub is offering a free guided worksheet to help you determine your unique value. You can get your free copy at smashingtheplateau.com/SiteHub. That's smashingtheplateau.com/SiteHub. Now let's welcome Melanie Benson. Melanie is a profit amplifier and has a gift for guiding fast-paced, mission-driven entrepreneurs to thrive financially in their work. Whether it's achieving a bold goal or scaling the reach of your business, Melanie has a proven track record of accelerating results. Melanie hosts the weekly podcast, Amplify Your Success, is author of Rewired for Wealth, co-author of Entrepreneur.com's Startup Guide to Starting an Information Marketing Business, and has her success tips featured in magazines such as American Express Open Forum, Bloomberg Business Week, Woman's Day, Parenting Magazine, and University of Phoenix Alumni Magazine. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here. I'm a fan of your podcast.
Oh, thanks so much. Melanie, I'm really thrilled that you focus on profits. A lot of people focus on different metrics, like many people talk about sales. And you can have a business that has great sales and has growing sales. Doesn't mean that you're actually making a profit in your business. So kudos to you on what you focus on.
Thanks. Well, you know, it's kind of a missing link for a lot of people, especially when they're passion driven.
Yep, exactly. So one of the things that I see, particularly people who are selling their knowledge or creativity and doing so where they're the primary provider of the solution for their customers, solopreneurs, they often struggle between solving a big problem that has the potential to bring in a lot of cash quickly versus solving an ongoing problem that will bring in smaller amounts of cash, yet do it consistently every month. And I'd love to hear your take on this dilemma.
You know, it's kind of the entrepreneur way, right? It's like there's always a gazillion ideas. There's way more things you want to do than you ever have time for. You know, for me, I think it always boils down to what is going to be the best way to create revenue you can count on, especially if somebody's having chronic cash flow crunches. I think looking at where is your ongoing revenue coming from, I think if people take the time to run the numbers, oftentimes they'll see that that ongoing revenue is more profitable than that big fish project that they're, you know, probably is a bit of a bright, shiny object for them that may or may not happen anytime soon. So I'm a fan of getting the predictable income happening so that you can free up some, what we might say, some energetic emotional bandwidth so you're not stressing out about money flowing in. That's kind of my approach.
So for somebody who's facing the dilemma I just described, what advice would you give them for figuring out how to develop the kind of revenue you can count on?
I think that consistent, predictable income is one of the smartest focus points for all of us, no matter what kind of business model you have. And so for me, when I'm working with clients, I'm going to look at what is it that you have or that you could easily offer, maybe by modifying some of the things you do already, so that you could create either like financing or payment plans, something of that nature. So in my work, I work a lot with experts, people who are building a business around their expertise, or they're building their business around a service. And it's pretty easy to figure out, like, we could design a like bigger ticket offering that has like higher value deliverables. And then maybe one of the fastest paths to getting that consistent revenue is finance it, let people finance it. There's a couple of wins around that, in my opinion. One, you're getting cash flow you can count on. And secondly, you are allowing someone to finance something they may or may not be able to say yes to if they had to come up with the money up front. So that's one way. But, you know, there's so many different things. Microcontinuity programs are really valuable, or they're very popular right now. Even like turning your content into some kind of association or membership. A lot of people in my industry are moving towards delivering things through SaaS models or some kind of a software subscription. So I think the key is having a way to get consistent revenue so that if you want to focus on bigger ticket items, it's not like your big rock that if it fails, you're out of business.
Mm. I wondered if you might have a couple of stories to share about situations, you know, where people have made the kind of shift that you're talking about.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I was working with someone, again, in the expert space. And this is somebody who, I don't know if you're familiar with the online dating space, but it's kind of an industry all on its own. And this was somebody who was a rising star in that industry, but he had kind of set up his model so that people paid him one lump sum for a 6-week program. And then once that was over, he was kind of tapped out. And he couldn't quite figure out how to shift that. And so one of the things we did was we looked at how could he offer a bigger ticket offering for less money. And then we also looked at how could he break his process down a little bit farther so that he could have 6-month programs. The key was getting him out of that thinking of it has to be in 6 weeks and it has to be this way. And one of the things I love doing is stretching people's thinking, like stretching the paradigm of what they think is possible. Another person that I worked with, and this is probably, you know, very relatable, is this was a woman who had a service, and she was in this place where she wasn't getting a lot of yeses. She was working really, really hard and was having a hard time converting people. And what I noticed was is she had a very high-end offer and she had one way people could work with her. And so I helped her restructure her sales process so that she had a way to break that process, that program delivery down so that it was over time that she delivered it instead of she did it in one day in the beginning and we transferred it. So it was like a 6-month program and break down those payments over 6 months so that she wasn't necessarily stuck in the model of, oh, I've got to get a 4-figure paycheck right up front from somebody, but we could break it down into really more meaningful payment plans. And so, you know, I think it's really just like restructuring the way you look at your offering and being willing to, you know, see it from the eyes of your potential client. Well, how could you break it down so they could assimilate it faster?
And do you think that this sort of rethinking how you deliver your solution can apply to many different kinds of businesses, not just expertise-based businesses?
I think we could pretty much apply it to any product or service. Now, in the product world, we might look at things like memberships or, you know, if you have a way that you package your offerings so that we call it keeping it sticky. So if somebody wants to leave, they lose something that's really painful and that keeps them wanting to pay for a monthly access. Think of like Zoom or, you know, any kind of project management software tool. It's like if I left my project management software tool, it would be so much money and so much time to convert it. So you want to think like that. You know, any service business, you know, even like I've worked with accountants and people who deliver these, what we might consider more, you know, like everybody needs an accountant. So it kind of becomes this commoditized service in a way. And we looked at how could she not just have the continuity, but also have bigger ticket items that then presented the need for the continuity, which was the monthly accounting fees. So I think sometimes we take a step back and look at our business from a fresh perspective. I think that's where business coaches come in for a lot of people and say, what could I do differently so that I could create cash flow I can count on?
Yeah. Why do you think it's so hard for people to answer that question themselves? Why is it so much easier for somebody who's outside to figure that out?
Well, I think it was Einstein that said this originally. You can't solve a problem with the same level of thinking it was created. We have created the paradigm we are in right now, right? Like right. Whatever our business model is, it was of our doing. We, you know, had the idea or we got feedback and then simulated it and made this business model. And I think what happens for a lot of people is it's almost like we get into this habitual relationship and we start to see it the same way all the time. So it's hard to bring a fresh perspective. You know, I love what I do so much that I'm out, I'm in multiple masterminds. I go to a lot of different events. I studied with a lot of different mentors because I constantly want to stay at the edge of my game. I want to know what's working for 1,000 different business models. So when my client comes to me and says, Melanie, I want to like take my game to the next level. I want to triple my income or I want to 10X my results this year. What are different ways I can do it? I want to give them the option that's right for them, not just the cookie cutter that I've done with, you know, 700 different people. And I think that's what most business owners don't have time for because they're so busy getting their business out in a better way. So I think it's a little bit of that, like we get a little numb to our own ideas because we're just in the grind trying to figure out how to get to the next paycheck or the next month's action steps.
Right. Now you're also pointing to something which I think is pretty fundamental, which is you're somebody who is focused on solving the problem of how do you change a business model so that it is really cutting edge in the way people pay for products and services today, which is very different than the way it might have been a generation ago.
That is an interesting insight. And I would actually say I'm an optimizer in a way. So I call it profit amplifying, profit optimizing. I'm always looking at how do I take what's there and make it better? Better in the sense that it gives my business owner more money, more time back, or more of something else they value and they don't have enough of. So maybe they're craving more credibility or they want to have a higher influence in their industry. And when you go through that process, it's not like you're throwing everything out. You're saying, what am I doing? What's the thread of what I'm doing well? And if I made a couple tweaks, how could it up-level the results by 10 to 50, 100 times? And that's, I think, a special art in itself because most of us are looking at that incremental next step. How do I make that one thing better? And sometimes that's the process, but I think sometimes it's the bold leap that we have to take. We have to be willing to do a big leap towards what we want and that big goal that we just can't think the same way anymore about our business or what we do when we take those bold leaps.
Right. But also I'm pointing out to something else, which is that you have the expertise because you pay attention to what is kind of cutting edge in the way businesses, like your clients, how they're operating that may set them apart and help their owners achieve more of what they want to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's my passion.
Right. And you see things like, as an example, technology has a huge impact on the way business can be optimized today. The fact mm-hmm. that you and I are recording a podcast episode when we're on opposite ends of the United States without spending any money on, or almost no money on technology to do it is pretty incredible.
I agree. I love technology. I think technology is, especially in the online market, if you are bringing whatever you do into the online space and you've got a website or you're using online technology because you have a virtual team. I remember, well, so this is a little bit dating me, but back in my corporate career, before I started my own business, I was one of the first people that went virtual in our workforce. And you would not believe how hard it was for them to get internet in my home office. So, you know, it's like I've seen the trajectory of internet and how it can make people more productive, more profitable, and more happy because they have more time freedom.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And I do believe how hard it was to get internet in your home office. I'm remembering, actually, this is going back probably 20 or more years ago when I was corporate. We started having individuals who were working from home in these sort of satellite offices. And almost nobody was doing it at that point. So A, we were kind of breaking the paradigm of how you actually ran an organization and how you deployed your team. And then B, we were relying on technology as much as we could for people to be able to work together.
Yeah. And I think if we just bring this back to profitability for a minute, one of the things that I think people miss is the way in which they use up too much time, or they are recreating the wheel, or they have team members who are constantly having breakdowns because they haven't really tapped into the right technology that would streamline their effort or could capture workflow so that you're not chasing down information over and over again. It's actually one of the greatest profit leaks I see many entrepreneurs and small business owners suffer from, is this lack of having technology, and we'll even just say organization, and they waste so much time and energy on things that could be easily handled through the technology.
Well said.
This is David. I'd like to take a quick break from today's episode to let you know that you too can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. We have a free resource to help you smash the plateau in 30 days. Go to our website, smashingtheplateau.com, and send me a message requesting your free tool. I'd love to help you smash the plateau.
So, Melanie, how did you get into this kind of business in the first place?
Well, so going back to my corporate days, I was in a Fortune 500 company where my whole job was, how do I improve the experience that our customers were having? And I went through a lot of different variations of that. But one thing was really missing for me all the way through, and that was I didn't have passion for that particular environment and that particular workflow. And I think I was kind of this independent, free thinker, renegade type person from the get-go. And I got exposed to Stephen Covey's work and the leadership development, and I just got hooked. And I thought, wow, like, this guy is changing people's lives. He's improving people's experiences. And I was so caught up with the impact he was having. And I was doing some personal development programs at the time. And I thought, wow, what if I could do that for me? And it was almost like that dare to dream moment. Like, could I really do this on my own? And so they offered to pay for me to go through coach training. And I said yes. And I ended up leaving the company to do a coaching on my own. And I quickly had a very clear moment about 18 months in. You know, my first 18 months, you're figuring out your name, you're figuring out all the pieces of your business. And I quickly realized I had no idea how to make money at coaching. And that's where a lot of the profit models that I work with today came in, because I realized there was a lot of effort going out and there was very little profitable returns from it. And I wanted to flip that paradigm. And so I had to really figure out, how do you sell coaching? How do you sell something that people don't, I mean, back then, 20 years ago, people still really didn't understand that a coach or a mentor was something you would invest in. And I was so young at the time. They're like, really, you're going to coach me? You're not old enough to be, you know, a mother, let alone anything else. So it was a lot of obstacles to overcome, but that's how I ended up where I'm at today. I found my secret sauce. I figured out how to create something that people were hungry for. And the first problem I figured out I needed to solve was people were overwhelmed. They were taking a lot of information and they had no idea how to create action steps out of everything they were learning so that their businesses could thrive financially. And that was my first secret sauce.
Wow. And so what was the result after you identified your first secret sauce?
Well, interestingly enough, because we're talking a lot about, you know, leveraging ourselves and creating consistent cash flow, my first secret sauce was, okay, so I have to take a step back a second. What I realized very quickly was I went through coach training and they taught you how to sell your time for $350 if you were lucky, or maybe $500, and you would deliver 3 coaching sessions a month. And so I'm sitting there doing the math thinking, this is a whole lot of coaching to do to make a 6-figure business happen. And I had to go basically eradicate that paradigm and create a paradigm where it was more entrepreneurial paradigm where, okay, so how do you build a 6-figure business if this talent I have is helping people how to get out of overwhelm? That's where I birthed the leveraged model that I teach now, which was the one-to-many. And I started teaching online programs where, instead of doing what I would do with one person for $350, I was doing that with 100 people, everybody paying, you know, $250, $300 for the program. And my my cash flow would grow exponentially. And so I quickly was able to get to that six figures and then get to the next six figures by developing programs that solve problems that multiple people could go to at the same time. And so, you know, I had four or five different core programs and I created the customer journey so people could move through that. And that was another way I created that consistent cash flow. Was it wasn't that I was selling one program, I was selling a journey that might take them 1 to 2 years. And so they might start in one program, then join an annual mastermind and create, you know, that would create a ongoing monthly commitment for 12 months or 18 months or 2 years, however long they would stay. And that really kind of set my trajectory in a very fast-paced growth and helped me, I think in a lot of ways, it helped me kind of overcome one of the big obstacles, which was how do you grow your revenue when you only have so much of your own time?
Right. And as you were doing that, did you find that you still had to attract a certain percentage of new clients every year?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's such a big question, especially right now in business. What lead generation and how we attract new clients is so different than it was back then. Back then for me, I was speaking a lot. And I found that I had to constantly be balancing how do I attract new people in while we deliver programs. Now, of course, I had support. So I had other coaches and help. So it wasn't just me delivering, but it was me in the forefront of attracting. And I think we would both agree that's another place where people get a little bottlenecked. You know, if you're the only one that's delivering, it's very hard to also at the same time do the client attraction work.
Right. And what works well for you now in terms of delivering solutions to clients and maintaining consistent, stable revenue for your business?
Well, it's definitely the group programs. We still have groups. I went back to having a really strong support team. For me, team is everything. It's one of my leverage techniques that if I don't have the right support team, I always notice like my energy drags a little bit and I have a harder time keeping up with everything. I get much more bottleneck, becoming the bottleneck in our growth. And then really like going back to technology, the technology piece is huge with the podcasting and doing webinars and all of the live streaming that's capable now. We have multiple ways we take content and spin it to help with the client attraction side. So we speak on the road less, but we do kind of replicate that effort through a lot of the technology and the online, what we might say, authority boosting platforms we use.
It sounds great. Melanie, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
Oh my gosh, you asked this question and I could think of so many. You know, I will have to say one of the people I think has just blown the doors is the people at Mind Movies. So they've done something really interesting where they've blended product that has continuity attached to it. So they've introduced a product that is a visual. Are you familiar with vision boards? They've taken the idea of a vision board and they've created a movie version of it that you add sound to and you can customize. And so they created a beautiful model of you pay every month to have access to your mental vision boards, your mind movies. And then they've also integrated coaching programs around it. So they've created a model that's really unique and they're really progressive. The owners, Glenn and Natalie Ledwell, are good friends of mine. And they're just, you know, they're growing in this market where a lot of other people are shrinking and pulling back and having to restructure. So they've definitely done a great job.
Wow. Great example. Thanks for sharing that. Melanie, what's coming up for you in the near future?
So for me, there's a lot that's coming up. I'm writing a book right now. It's called Own Your Bold. And it really taps into the mindset and the physical impact that happens in your confidence and your courage when you take big leaps. And so for me right now, it's having the discipline to say no to some really awesome opportunities that I want to be more involved in while I create space to write, because I'm not a good writer on airplanes and, you know, in hotel rooms. It's like I need my space in my home office. So I've been writing the book. And we just opened up the doors to our brand new program called Own Your Bold Circle, which is where we, you know, teach people how to really shift their mindset and create habits and actions that propel them forward in their business. So those are a couple of things that are on the horizon that I'm super excited about.
Sounds great. Do you have a free gift that you'd like to offer our audience?
Sure. Since we're talking about Own Your Bold, we also just made our Own Your Bold program open to the public again. So it's a free 5-day Own Your Bold challenge where you go each day into a part of your business and you learn one little thing that will propel you forward the fastest. And it's a really cool process. People, even seasoned business owners have been around for a long time. They've gotten so much out of each step. It kind of expands your thinking and challenges maybe some of your assumption areas. And you can get that at ownyourboldchallenge.com.
Sounds great. And if anybody wants to go deeper with anything that you've shared today or get in touch with you, where would they go?
MelanieBenson.com is our website. Fastest way to find me. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, Coach Melanie Benson. Those are great places we can connect as well.
Sounds great. Well, Melanie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion about the kind of work that you do and also how you built your own business. It's really been a fascinating discussion. My guest today has been Profit Amplifier Melanie Benson. Thank you again, Melanie, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Do you want to do a better job of smashing through the digital chaos and getting noticed by your ideal customers? I'd like to share this tip by Sean McKay, the CEO of SiteHub.
I often get asked, what is value and how do you deliver it? Before customers are willing to pay you, they must believe that they have value to gain or pain to avoid from buying your product or service. Delivering real value throughout that entire customer journey ensures that there's not only a stream of new clients at your door, but also super fans on the other side cheering you on and referring you even more business. Everyone wants that. So how do we do it? It comes down to the four P's of marketing: price, product, placement, and promotion. So let's break it down to three steps. Discover what points of value matter to your customers. Ask them, interview them, do market research, or even just look at what your competitors are doing. Step two, develop an offer that aligns with those points of value. Make sure your product really spells it out to them. Make it obvious. Don't hide this in your fine print. Step three, create a pitch that resonates with these points and creates focus around them. In all your promotions, you should clearly state this value in a way that is memorable and speaks directly to this target customer, whether it be your jingle, your slogan, your YouTube commercial, whatever. Now, keep in mind that value can change over time and people's perception of value does change. So be sure to observe the environment often to determine if you need to update your product, your promotions, your placement, or your price.
Thank you, Sean. You can get your free guided worksheet to help you determine your unique value from Sean at smashingtheplateau.com/SiteHub. That's smashingtheplateau.com/SiteHub. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.